This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on December 17th, 2015. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Item number 4 is Draft Advisory Opinion 2015-14, Hillary for America. Today we have Samuel Lavore, Sean Wright, and Bob Knott here to discuss the matter. We also, once again, have Mark Elias and Jacqueline Lopez from Perkins Coie here. Counsel for the requester, welcome. Welcome, Ms. Lopez.
Is Commissioner Walther?
Is there a... Oh, sorry.
Commissioner Walther.
Oh.
I didn't think he was recused from this.
No, I don't believe he is. Well, while I have you all in rapt attention, I do want to mention that Sam Lavore is, I believe this is his last day. Is he here? Ah, there you are. And he's presented on numerous occasions before the commission. He's an intern at the FEC and has done amazing work, and we're going to miss you. Thank you very much for the work that you did on our behalf. Really appreciate it. He's Commissioner Walther. Thank you. Okay. Would you like to give a presentation, please?
Thank you, Chair Ravel. And good morning, Commissioners. Before you is Agenda Document 1569, which contains two draft responses to an advisory opinion request by Hillary for America. The request asks, through five distinct questions, whether DePauw University may provide a stipend and academic credit to a student who is interned in the Equestrian Compliance and Vetting Departments. Both drafts A and B conclude that the provision of a stipend is permissible under the Act and Commission regulations for the legal and compliance services that the student provided, but not for her other campaign work. The drafts also conclude that the provision of academic credit is permissible for all of the student's work. The Commission received two comments on the request and one comment on the drafts. Thank you, and I'd be happy to address any questions you have.
Thank you. Are there any questions for OGC? No? Hearing none. Questions for counsel? Hearing none. Anybody wish to comment on this matter? No? All right. Commissioner Goodman.
Well, I just want to give Mr. Elias the opportunity. It edifies these meetings. There are two drafts out. Could you just explain your perception and take on the two?
So it is rare that I think that on a bipartisan basis the commission got it entirely wrong. So that's what I think. I think that I almost said something in the last discussion.
Good thing you did.
That tied the two together. But so I'll make Commissioner Peterson, because it was aimed at a question you asked. I feel like in 1979, in a world that was very different, in an FEC that was almost unrecognizable by today, the commission got something wrong, and now there is like a reluctance to do anything about it. The fact is that DePauw University is willing to pay a stipend to a student who is getting academic credit, quote, for the sole purpose of assisting her with her educational experience. And the commission is on the precipice of saying that that is a impermissible payment and a contribution from the university to a campaign, which is honestly preposterous. I realize I have currently no votes for the position that I'm advocating, but I think if you ask most Americans whether the financial aid that a university pays to a student is a contribution if that student then volunteers for a campaign, the answer would be no. I think all of you would say the answer is no. That if you get a Pell Grant or you get a student loan that allows you as a student to do an internship, it's not a campaign contribution. Here, because the payment that is being made to this student is, which is solely for the purpose of assisting her with her educational experience, you have turned this somehow into some, and by the way, she could be interning for anything. Like, this is not like go intern for campaigns. This is like go intern in the world. So like all of her other friends get to be paid by the university, get a stipend by the university. I shouldn't say get a stipend from the university to further their educational experience, except an agency in Washington, D.C. has said that if your way of furthering your educational experience is to intern on a campaign, then you need to turn the money back, which is essentially saying you need to turn back for part of your financial aid. So I would ask you all to reconsider whether in 1979 the commission got this right or whether the facts here actually apply to this. But in a world in which this commission is tackling a lot of problems of money in politics, universities providing educational stipends so that their students can intern in politics does not strike me as a place that this body ought to be putting down the hammer. So that's the little spiel that I have for you today.
Mr. Vice Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think you raised some very good points that the and I guess this does tie into the last one. As I mentioned in the last one, if I'd been here for the original Bob Kerry AO, I might have voted differently. I don't know for sure, but I might have. But let's say that I would have voted for a different principle. But if I decide that that's the kind of the governing precedent, as it were, that may lead me to continue to support a draft that would be in line with what you want the request to be. And this presents kind of a similar situation where there might be a precedent out there that's
why I said
there
I
in
tie
the first
it.
Instance. Yeah. So if I should continue to follow precedent that I may not necessarily agree with in one instance, what would be the grounds for advocating maintaining that adherence versus in a different case where, yeah, again, if I were to evaluate this in the first instance again, I might vote differently, but there is some water under the bridge here. What would be, from my perspective, what would be the principled reason to supersede one and not supersede the other?
Yeah, great question. So, as you might imagine, I thought of that. Since I raised the
yes.
tie together. I think there are two things that distinguish it. The first is, as I mentioned, the Kerry AO is relatively recent, and it is, in fact, part of the fabric of a fairly dynamic area of the law, as you all have pointed out. The personal use rules are something that campaigns tackle regularly, and members of Congress on both sides of the aisle, Democrats and Republicans, have to deal with, and Kerry is there. It is a recent fact on the ground that people are contending with and relying upon. This is a very old AO, and I suspect this is now not knowledge, this is suspicion. I would bet you that many, many colleges and many, many campaigns are unaware of this. And in fact, there is widespread payment of stipends to people in colleges to do internships, and the colleges are not distinguishing based on the kind of internship. So I think you have in this 1979 precedent, frankly, something that if my client and I were not super attentive to the law, this is one of those things that people would just be largely ignoring, because that old AO is so old and so counterintuitive and counter to common sense and unsupported by the statute that I don't think most campaigns would think. I don't think most House and Senate campaigns, unless they happen to have a sophisticated campaign finance lawyer, would think that if someone got a stipend from a local college, that they couldn't intern at a campaign. So I just think there's a very different set of that. But again, that's suspicion. That's not hard data. But I mean, this doesn't come up as a significant barrier in my experience in dealing with universities mm-hmm. as something that they have thought of.
Okay, thanks.
Commissioner Walton.
Well, my thought is, you know, if you're inclined to have us take a run at rethinking some of this, I think we ought to do it and then come back in the next meeting.
And again,
so that would be my motion.
I'm sorry. Could you
just
repeat?
Just to table this till the next meeting and we could reconsider some of these older thoughts and what to do with them.
Commissioner Weintraub.
If my colleagues want more time to think about this, of course, we should take it and have a well-considered decision. Here's one of the things that I would be thinking about during that time, and I would appreciate your insights. You know, you talked about how the world has changed since 1979, and one of the things that has changed, particularly since 2010, is that there appears to be a whole lot more creativity going on out there in terms of who is funding various aspects of campaign operations. There are campaigns out there that appear to be, judging by what I read in the newspaper, offloading all sorts of traditional campaign functions to outside groups. And this particular premise, which you say has no basis in the statute, is actually based on the provision that says corporations, including nonprofit corporations, aren't allowed to pay for staff for a campaign. So if we were to go down the line that you're suggesting and supersede the earlier AOs and say that you know, I think that we could come up with some kind of a rationale that talked about educational purposes. And I mean, I don't know, maybe the answer to my question is that we would limit it to accredited educational institutions. But I do think there's a real risk of somebody coming in through the vehicle of a C3 or a C4 saying, we are now going to set up an educational program. We want to promote civic engagement. And in order to promote civic engagement, particularly among young people, we want to set up a special program that will pay the stipends for young people who go out and, or people of any age, let's not be age discriminatory, who want to go out and work on campaigns and get more involved in the in politics and the civic activities of their nation. And, you know, perhaps they would do this for a particular university that had a reputation of having either a very liberal or a very conservative student body, knowing that, you know, the odds were good that those students, even if the program wasn't set up to target a particular political party, would probably seek opportunities helping out one side or the other. I'm concerned that in reworking this to accommodate what is a very sympathetic request. You know, I read your comments, I read your request. I am actually quite sympathetic to what you're asking, particularly when you put it in terms of wanting to expand opportunities for lower-income people who want to become involved in these kinds of opportunities. But, you know, where's the limiting principle, and how do we prevent this from becoming, should we decide to go down this road, just another vehicle by which wealthy people endow a particular program with an aim towards providing staff for political campaigns?
Yeah, so I think there are a few things that in this request actually are quite self-limiting. And I'll start by saying the same thing I said in the last AO. I'm here on behalf of a particular fact and circumstance. But this one actually self-limits quite nicely, because it's actually, they're not trying to promote civic engagement. That isn't actually what the university is trying to do. The university, if this student had gone to work for a startup tech company, would have gotten the same money. This is solely for purposes of furthering their educational experience. She's getting college credit for it. So could someone set up an accredited university, give college credit, endow it? I mean, that seems an unlikely road to travel. I mean, I think that if the limiting principle is, it is, you get college credit for it, you are paid the stipend irrespective of whether you are working in politics or in some other field, and there is a bona fide, you know, process for reviewing these, I mean, it's hard to see how that gets, you know, how that gets out of hand. I think
things have a way of getting out of hand around here. but I appreciate the comments.
So. I mean, I think this one self-limits. My point is, I think this one actually self-limits pretty neatly, because it's such a, I mean, you know, would NYU take advantage of it? Yes. Would Pepperdine take advantage of it? Yes, I made that up. I don't actually know if either of them would take advantage of it. But I mean, I don't think you're going to see a crop of new 501c organizations that are going to go to the trouble of creating accredited colleges in order to hand out $3,000 stipends to interns. Like
that's not actually what I'm worried about so much as perhaps somebody endowing a program at a particular university. Well, you know, assume that we limit it to universities and granting college credit as part of a broader internship program that isn't limited to politics or particularly targeting political activity. I could still imagine a wealthy donor deciding, what the heck, I'm going to give $1 million to my favorite very liberal or very conservative university so that they can set up such a program, because I know that those the students who are likely to take advantage of it are more likely to work on the kind of campaigns that I would like to see getting staffed. And I'm sure that I don't find it at all far-fetched to think that there are C3 and C4 organizations who are out there now that might say, well, we're going to set up an educational program. And yes, we could just say, well, no, it's got to be part of an accredited college program. You're right. That would be a good limiting principle. But I suspect we would get questions from other folks besides universities who would then say, well, if you are willing to say that it's not a contribution from a corporation when the university does it, what do you got against my C3 or C4 or think tank or whatever?
Because the opinion that I envision hinges on the fact that it is solely for the purpose of assisting with an educational experience. So it's not a 501c purpose, which is why I said it's not civic engagement. I think that actually is a very different and might lead to what you're talking about. It actually has to be for the educational experience. Now, whether it has to be for college credit or not, I kind of am of two minds, because there are lots of colleges that do intern stipends that are not where the college doesn't give credit. I'm joined by Jackie Lopez, who's a graduate of Harvard University Law School, and she was telling me on the way over here that Harvard Law School does not give credit, but they do give stipends for internships. But again, it's not, I mean, you should speak up, it's not related to politics.
No, they have a similar general program where nonprofit startup environments, you can get funding, and you have to prove that it's a rigorous educational experience, but they won't give you class credit for it, just a small stipend.
So that might be a way that certainly is this request, is that there is college credit. I think that you know, I'm kind of two minds on that, but I do think that you can limit this to, it has to be by the university for the educational purpose of the student, which, by the way, I think also ties to the tax treatment that the student gets on the money, because it's treated as a stipend, I believe, not as income to them for that reason.
Okay, so there was a request to hold this over, and I assume that's you're amenable to that as well?
In an ideal world. But beggars will not be choosers. They would be held over for the same meeting.
Same. Well, Mr. Noddy.
It's a substantive interjection, if I may. So if the commission is going to think about reexamining some of the older AOs in this area, the one thing that I would add for consideration, and maybe Mr. Elias would be interested in addressing while he's here, so it doesn't come up for the first time next time, is that one thing that both drafts agree on is that the intern would be allowed to take the stipend for the legal and accounting work that you would do. And that's under the statutory exemption for that work. That statute and the implementing regs require that the person making the payment be the, quote, regular employer of the person receiving the payment. In 1982, the commission decided that a college student receiving a stipend could be considered, that the college could be considered the regular employer of the student. I think there is reason to wonder whether that was the correct result there. Both drafts rely on it exclusively. That is the sole reasoning in both drafts for the yes answer on question one. So if there's going to be reexamination, maybe the commissioners would be interested in reexamining AO, it's Koenig, 1982-31.
Okay.
I agree. Thank you.
Okay. So with that addition, this matter will be held over to the same time, I guess, as the previous matter. Thank you very much. We want to take a couple minutes. You found it. Oh, okay. Okay. You are done.
Okay.
Your matters are done. It was Commissioner Walther had a concern about something else.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.